Welcome to the Kennedy Report. I'm Kennedy Hall. Well, we're in a little bit of a transition period here, and we're going to talk today about Afghanistan and Our Lady of Fatima. You might be thinking to yourself, well, what do Afghanistan and Our Lady of Fatima have to do with each other? It's my opinion that they have a lot to do with each other, and I think that'll make sense as we tease out this idea, this thesis of mine over the next 15 minutes or so. Now, before I continue, please go to our website, and you can find the links in the description for that. Like and subscribe to this video and see what we have going on to help you grow in your faith and understand the political scheme and with regards to the message of Fatima, which is so important. Visit our website to do so. And if while you're there, please consider a donation that helps us to keep these efforts going forward. So Afghanistan and Our Lady of Fatima, what do they have to do with each other? Well, we need to have a little background on Afghanistan for a second. Afghanistan is a contentious topic. There are many people who are, for example, supporters of the military for good reasons. In Canada, we've had a war effort in Afghanistan for many years, a couple decades essentially off and on. America's been the same thing. And recently, there has been a massive exodus or a quick exodus from the Afghanistan situation, which has led to some disastrous consequences and some very, let's say, hard to watch humanitarian crises. And we're going to actually show a clip of those right here. As you can see, it's been a nightmare. President Biden was addressing the nation as things like this were happening, and it's just been a total disaster. How is it that after 20 years being in a place, it could be so bad when you finally have to leave? Well, again, we've got to talk about Afghanistan for a little second here, because Afghanistan is known as the graveyard of empires. You can find references to conflicts in that area being disastrous to world empires going all the way back into the time of Alexander the Great. The Soviets played their hand there. The Chinese have been involved in some way or another. Various colonial enterprises have gone through on their way to places like India. The Americans and the Canadians, the Commonwealth allies and things like that have been there for the last while and sort of the pursuit of anti-terror, et cetera. And it's been a complete disaster for everyone. It's not unlike in some ways the Vietnam War efforts were, where essentially what you have is a terrain, is an area that is, it just doesn't allow you to play by the rules you're used to. There is a harsh geographical aspect. It's mountainous. The weather is extreme. It's remote. And the people there have distinct, unique cultures. And there isn't a lot of unity amongst Afghan people. Now, this is something that people don't really realize. This whole idea of Afghanistan being this place with these borders that we find on a map, that is not how it has been historically, and that's very much a modern invention, as it has been in many places in the Middle East following the various wars and colonial efforts throughout that area. Afghanistan is the graveyard of empires because essentially empires go in there with their ideas about how they want things to run. And although there might be some good done, I mean, you know, there have been a lot of atrocities done against women, for example, in Afghanistan, which have been terrible. Sort of some backwards cultural ideas in some of the areas. So some military personnel have claimed that they've made good progress with certain things that have helped women, and that's fine. I mean, if that's the case, then that's a good thing. We don't want people to be living under some sort of, you know, terrible tyranny. That's bad. Now, that being said, it's clear after so many years of efforts in Afghanistan by the Americans, by the Canadians, by the British, whatever allies are going to help. I mean, we have, there's a young man who died from this area where I live in Ontario. There's actually a big rugby tournament named after him because he died as a very young man fighting in Afghanistan. He grew up in Canada, all the way across the world, was inspired to go do something to fight for his country, at least as he understood it, and he goes there and he loses his life. There are bridges near me that are named after soldiers, Canadian soldiers who've died in Afghanistan. We have to make a distinction between the individual soldiers who act bravely and courageously and the militaries. Whatever ideas we might have about the Canadian or American or British, whichever country military, those things there might be reasons to criticize those. But that's not the same thing as the soldiers who go and fight. You know, there's an expression, something like, you know, you can hate the military while loving the soldier. So whatever the reasons may be behind efforts in Afghanistan, however just they may or may not be, we should keep in mind that there are soldiers who have done everything they possibly could to fight for values that they believe in, and there's a virtue in that. And I think this brings me to a point that I'm trying to make here, is that talking about Afghanistan is very difficult for a lot of people, because so often in the anti-war movement, let's call it, there definitely is a contingency of far left activists who are pacifists to a fault, don't believe in just war at all, which is against the teachings of the Bible and Christian tradition. But also, a lot of the time, you find that there are people who are sympathetic to the anti-American or anti-Canadian or anti-British. We find people who are actually against, basically, Christian civilization. And that's why they don't want any efforts to be taking place in non-Christian civilizations, because they see that as evil, as a part of the evil oppressive, you know, the narrative, where the evil oppressive colonizers, settlers, whatever. Very anti-Christian history. Very anti-Western history. That's a huge part of this movement that is against the military industrial complex, which we see playing out in the situation in Afghanistan. Well, that's an issue. You know, no one here is advocating for any anti-patriotic sentiments. No one here is advocating for any ideas that we should ally ourselves with people who are sympathetic to communists or socialists. And that's often what we see with the anti-war movement. I think that's why, especially in the years of the Vietnam War, I was before my time. But if I look back and I read the history and I look at the rhetoric around it, there was this idea that everyone who was against the war was somehow basically against patriotism. Now, that wasn't true, but that's what people believed about it. So if that's what you believe about it, it's understandable to see why there's just been this sort of left-wing versus right-wing divide about war efforts. But Afghanistan is proof, just like Vietnam was proof, that there are wars that are just not worth fighting because they don't fit the criteria of just war. There are wars that are not worth fighting because they really just bring carnage and suffering to people, and they're not winnable because the enemy or the combatants, the person you're interacting with, the group, they just don't play by your rules. You know, when we have a war in Western Europe, let's say, First or Second World War, as gruesome as those are wars where the enemies come from the same culture, where they play essentially by the same rules. They might do evil things, but they understand, they have similar concepts of what it means to have national sovereignty. They come from similar traditions. As silly as those wars are, they take place in that context. Well, these wars where we try to fight these sort of foreign powers, or people try to infiltrate the sort of Afghanistan area, we see that it's a disaster over and over again because they don't play by the same rules. Now, all that aside, whatever one might think about whether or not it was worth going to war in Afghanistan because of reasons of terrorism, what we see now is that whatever the reasons may have been, it's been an unmitigated disaster. A lot of human life has been lost. A lot of destruction has been done to various Afghan groups. And the moment that the American military institution pulls out of Afghanistan, we now see a resurgence of all types of terrorist forces, of all types of, you know, Islamic extremist forces coming to power again. Taliban, Al-Qaeda, even ISIS. ISIS is not even from that area. It's the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or Iraq in Levant. You know, ISIS or ISIL, Barack Obama called it ISIL, I believe. And they're not even from that area. But it just shows that this vacuum has now been filled by these extremist groups who are going to make the life of people very difficult. And there's no stability in the region. And many American soldiers have been stranded, American citizens, Canadian citizens, and other citizens of other places who were helping with the effort. It's been, as I said, a disaster. So what does this have to do with Fatima? Well, Afghanistan is a perfect microcosm, in my opinion, of a world that has sought for too long for godless solutions to problems where God has already given us his solution. Our Lady of Fatima promised peace. She promised that unless Russia was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that Russia would spread her errors. And those errors are what we've talked about these ad nauseum here. They have to do with communism. Afghanistan has been affected greatly by communism. It's in that hotbed of that area surrounding Russia, China, and so forth. And those areas that, you know, many of the countries that were in the former Soviet Union, including Afghanistan's geographical region, they were all obviously communist to varying degrees. And that has made a lot of destruction and disintegration and demoralization of those populations in that area, which has really contributed to a continual sort of entropy to any order that they had in the first place. And there's no order left. America tried to sort of jump into that Afghanistan area, almost as if they tried to fight sort of a vestige of the Cold War, which had to do with communism, obviously. And that has been a disaster. And now there is a president who himself calls himself a Catholic, and he'll hold up the rosary whenever it's politically advantageous, but he obviously advocates for abortion and all other sorts of sins that go against teachings of the church, and uses the church basically as a club to belong to in order to get votes with people who are sort of religiously confused and politically neutral. And he's very, it's very symbolic that the faux Catholic president is the man in charge of the unfolding of the unmitigated disaster of this battle against the Soviet communist vestige that is the Afghanistan situation. I think it's very telling of what has happened. The solution to the path to peace in the world will only come in the way that we need to understand it through the message of Fatima, which means we ourselves, we have to do our part. We have to pray our rosary every day, as our Blessed Mother has said on many occasions. Even if you're not from a Western Catholic tradition, if you're an Eastern Catholic, pick up the rosary. I dare say, even if you're Orthodox, I hope that you love the Theotokos, the Blessed Mother, pick up a rosary. Pray the rosary every day. If you want world peace, you've got to pray for it. And there's a specific method to do this. It's the way that the consecration has to be done, and it hasn't. Afghanistan is further evidence that the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary has not taken place. You know, it was pretty obvious that there was no peace in the 80s, even the early 90s. Then when the Soviet Union fell, people had this idea that, well, the Soviet Union fell, at least as we understand it, therefore, that must be evidence that the consecration happened because there's peace. Well, Our Lady never said the Soviet Union would spread her errors. She never said unless the Soviet Union was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She said unless Russia was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So the Soviet Union may have fallen, but how many of those men that were in charge and were mass murderers went to jail? Did any? How many of those men who were in charge who were Trotskyites and Leninites and Leninists or Stalinists or whatever, how many of them sort of sold their services to China instead? How many of them came over to universities in North America and have made unwitting university students into card-carrying communists just without knowing it? The errors of Russia have spread throughout the world, and there's ample evidence for this. You can look at other videos that we've done, talk about this, and check out the web. I mean, there's no point in me right now going into all of that evidence because it's overwhelming. But I think this should be evidence for any Catholic who is, let's say, on the fence about whether or not the consecration happened. Perhaps you thought, well, the 90s was relatively peaceful. That'd be to avoid a lot of different conflicts. But from the general media perspective, Soviet Union had fallen. You know, it was all happy-go-lucky. But I think it's pretty obvious now that, as I said, symbolically, we have this faux Catholic president who himself is basically a Marxist, in charge of the most powerful and most influential, one of the greatest countries on earth. America's a great nation. And he's in charge of the unmitigated disaster, which really accelerated under his reign as vice president when he was with Barack Obama. In any case, Afghanistan is an example par excellence that there is no peace in the world. There's no order. St. Augustine says that peace is the tranquility of order. There's no order in Afghanistan. It's so disordered that people are hanging off of airplanes as they're trying to escape. What's going to happen with Afghanistan remains to be seen. I wouldn't be surprised if this has sparked something like another war effort. We know that although the leftists tend to say that conservatives are obsessed with violence and war, it's actually usually the opposite. The most warmongering groups tend to be the socialists and the leftist Democrats. Joe Biden is perhaps just an old dog doing old tricks and finding another reason to go back to war, I don't know. But it's clear that the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because a vestige of those errors of Soviet communism, is playing out in front of us. The consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary did not take place in the way that Our Lady asked for. So we need to pray for that, because the only path to peace in the Middle East, and the Middle East is where Christianity first spread, not specifically in Afghanistan all the way, but it spread in that region of the world. The only path to peace is going to be through a restoration in the church. And Our Lady promised that the consecration would happen. It would just happen late. So hopefully we're alive to see that. I think that suffices for my ideas about what's happened in Afghanistan. And perhaps you can share this video with anyone who sort of waking up a little bit and thinking, yeah, this whole consecration to Russia thing probably hasn't happened. I think, again, this Afghanistan situation is an example. This is not to say, I mean, the whole communist takeover, we've been going under for 18 months, but this is just another example of a lack of peace in the world and a continual outpouring of the errors of communism playing out in ways that lead to violence. So pray for the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Pray for the Pope to have the courage to do so the way that was asked. And remember that Our Lady said, or that we were told, excuse me, that the consecration would happen, but it would happen late. Well, hopefully late means soon for our purposes. Please visit our website and find out more information about the message and how to help you grow in your faith. Like and subscribe this video and this channel. And if you have enjoyed yourself and want to see these efforts continue, consider a donation. This has been the Kennedy Report. Until next time, I'm Kennedy Hall, and God bless.